It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, for today's lesson, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, going through verse 6, and I've entitled this one, Test 3, Obedience to God's Commands. I'm going to go ahead and read this for you, and we're going to start out right here in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." So I want to just go over a few things. We're going to be hitting test 3. This is going to be about obedience to God's commands, as I stated before. And I didn't get to cover chapter 2, verse 2 very well in our last lesson. And I want to pick back up there and just touch on a point that's being made, because it's very, very important that we understand that as why it is in the text and why we need to see that John put it there and for what reason, because it is a heavy, weighty doctrine, deep theology that we've got going on there in chapter 2, verse 2, and we need to know why it's there and what the purpose of this whole propitiation is within this text. So as it says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. So what's going on here is John is talking about how Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he did that in order so that we would not sin, because we just came off of those verses back in chapter 1 where he's telling us, do not partner with darkness. We've already hit two of the tests in chapter 1, and he's telling us these things. Do not sin. I write these things so that you will have joy, so that you have fellowship with Christ. Be with him in the light as he himself is in the light. Do not practice darkness. So here we've got chapter 2, verse 2, telling us that he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And this is so important. He put this here to remind us and to tell us with all assurance that you don't have to practice sin. You've got an advocate. You have a helper. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to satisfy and make that appeasement or that satisfaction that was needed on God's demands of holiness for the punishment of sins. Jesus did that through his propitiation. That's what that means. That's what that concept is telling us there. And it's just so vital that we understand that, because as we're going through these tests, I know, ladies, it can be so hard to be like, why, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this Christian life? It's so hard. How do I know if I just keep falling into sin and over and over and over. How am I going to do this? Well, the good news is you don't have to do this on your own. Jesus Christ is your advocate. He is going to help you so that you don't have to stumble into sin over and over and over. And the Holy Spirit will be there to convict you and guide you so that you don't continue in habitual, unrepentant sin. It's a glorious doctrine that is there, and I'm so glad he put it in there. And when he's talking about this whole concept there about this is not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Okay, we're not talking about every single individual in this sentence, but we're talking about mankind as a whole. So this is telling us that there has been a propitiation for our sins, for the ones that God has called, for the elect, and that sacrifice has been made on our behalf. That's what's going on here in this sentence. So I hope that helps. I hope that connects everything for you. And I think that's really important, because chapter 2, verse 2 really does connect all of these themes for us that are getting ready to happen. We've just come off of, you know, the fellowship test and looking at that concept. Now we're getting ready to go into the obedience test. And it's a good reminder right before we kick off into another test that we're reminded, yes, You can do this. You have got an advocate in Jesus Christ. If you have repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in him, you don't have to do this on your own. So let's continue on in the text. We have here where it's starting to talk about, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, that is so black and white. It is so bold of John to use such it is just spot on language. He doesn't mince any words. And like I told you in the introductions, that's going to be the theme of how John is going to write this book. He's doing it with speaking the truth in love. So yeah, it's a hard sentence to hear, but he's doing it out of love. He's telling us this so we can see if we're in the faith. And he's just being so clear about it. He says, the one who says, I've come to know him and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. So that is telling us there are commands in Scripture that we are to obey. Everything there is for our good, Romans 8:28. And I want to just camp out on that thought for a minute, because a lot of people try to say that, you know, Jesus is this cosmic killjoy. God is up there just making our lives hard. He's this bully. He's put all these rules in place. I just can't have any fun. Like, the Christian life is no fun. And how many times have you heard that? You know, I don't want to be a Christian because it's too hard. There's too many rules. I don't want to have to be under that strict authority. Well, that is not how it is at all. And if you are a believer, you know how that is not true at all. God's commands are there so that we can abide by them because they are best. It's what's best for our life. He knows what's best. We do not. And I want to liken it to a parent-child relationship somewhat. When a parent places rules in place for their child, it's not to be a big bully and to ruin their lives. It's there to help them because that parent is wiser and older and more mature, and they know what's best for that child. If they tell the child not to touch a hot oven, it's not because they just want to ruin their fun. It's because the oven's hot. It's going to hurt. So we have to stop and realize that these commands in Scripture are there because God cares for us. He has our best interest at heart. And so he's taken the time to have all of this written down in Scripture. We need to stop and read it and apply it to our lives. It's not meant to make life harder for us. It's meant to draw us closer to Christ and essentially to make our lives better. I mean, there's many commands in the text that are just there as preventative measures so that you don't get caught up in sin. It's really important to remember that because we do have the advocate of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit there to help us out. And so just like obedience of baptism is an outward sign of what has gone on in the changed heart of a person, that's the same way the obedience to God's commands are. We will be a changed person, and our lives will reflect that. It's the whole person. It's the whole man. It's the whole woman. It's what is on the inside and outside. It's what they think. It's how they talk. It's what they wear. And I mean that with immodest dress, things like that. I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm talking about your speech, your friends, who you hang out with, the activities that you engage in, the movies that you watch, the things that you fill your mind with, and what comes out of your mouth, and what the whole person of who you are looks like. And I want you to stop and think about that. Is what you say with your mouth, does it line up with what your actions reflect? Does it all line up with what's in your heart? Do you have a changed heart in Christ? And are you living for him and striving to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit? We're not going to be perfect, ladies. And I want to keep stressing that as we go through these tests. Don't beat yourself up thinking that you have to be perfect. That's not the purpose of this lesson. But it's to point us back to Christ and to realize we will not be living in habitual, unrepentant sin if we are a believer. We will be convicted of these things. We'll be convicted of the commandments, and we will be obedient to those out of a love and appreciation for what our Father has done for us. These are the truths that we find in this text. And so I just want to stop and ask, did you pass this test? Is there something in your life that doesn't reflect that of a Christian? Is there something in your life that you haven't given over to God and that you've been in just rebellion to what his commands are? I want you to think about that today. And if there is something that has been just nagging at your conscience, I want you to take it to Scripture and I want you to pray about that. And I want you to repent of it and ask the Lord for His forgiveness of that. Maybe it's salvation as a whole. Maybe you have never come to Christ. And I just urge you to read the text. And I ask that you would repent today. Ask for repentance. Cry out to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. This is so important. I want you to think about that today and what this test is all about. It's the test of obedience. And I want you to think of if you passed it or not. This lesson can be found on naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab, Lesson 7, Test 3, Obedience to God's Commands.